I always say, like, I got sick and then I never got better. And so that kind of, yeah, that literally, and it's, you know, it was not really an exaggeration for that point in my life. It was, so it was basically like I had like a permanent stomach virus for like 18 months. And yeah, it was rough. It was really, really rough.
On this episode, we're going to talk about why bouncing around from country to country without taking care of your body, mind, and soul can leave you feeling run down, how your health dominates every aspect of your life, and being mindful of that can prevent illness, and the importance of taking a holistic approach when it comes to choosing treatment. I have a gut feeling that you're not going to want to miss this one. Trust me.
You're listening to the Travel Horror Stories Podcast, a show that listens to real stories from travel bloggers and travelers just like you. Then we unpack those stories to discuss safety tricks, prevention treats, horror hacks, and follow-up tactics. The goal is to turn travel nightmares into dreams of beaches, sunshine, and margaritas.
And as always, you can head over to TravelHorrorStoriesPodcast.com for this and all the previous episodes, their show notes, and links to all the other places you enjoy listening to podcasts. If you're listening via Apple Podcasts, don't forget to give the episode a 5-star rating and leave a comment, because that will help more people find the show.
And now live from the Rudderless Travel Studio in downtown Toronto, Canada, here's your host, Christopher Rudder.
The weather outside is -5, which is definitely more than tolerable for November. And normally, I wouldn't complain, except for the fact that last week, we were enjoying +17-degree weather. Sort of feels like Mother Nature's punishing us with a reminder of what the weather is not going to be like for the next 4 months. But all that aside, I really can't complain, because while I record this, Toronto is trying to survive the second wave of COVID-19 and desperately trying to avoid another lockdown. But hey, enough of being a Debbie Downer. I'm so glad you guys are spending some time with me right now. So let's get into this. Riding shotgun with me today is the lovely Breanne Myers, and she runs a travel blog called A Traveling Life. Is it Breanne or Brianne? Because I have another travel blogging friend who is Brianne.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I think you know who she is.
Brianne. Yeah, Brianna Simmons.
Yes.
So I am Breanne.
Okay.
But yeah.
Perfect. And if I'm not mistaken, I think we first met at TBEX, aka Travel Blog Exchange Conference, right?
Yep. Yeah, we met for the first time at TBEX in the Finger Lakes.
That's right.
A lovely event.
Yeah. Yes. Perfect. Okay. So before I get into what your blog is about, I need to interrupt this regularly scheduled segment to ask you what you were wearing in the picture on your About Me page in front of the Great Wall of China. Are those pants?
Oh, geez. Or
is that a dress?
That was like the 1988. So way back in the day when I was a little kid. And it was not a good time for fashion. And so I believe those were shorts of some sort, but they were very wide shorts. That is probably the worst photo of me ever. So I think everyone has those childhood photos, and I decided to put mine in the center on my blog. Why not? So, but that was my first trip out of the country. And so to go to China for your first trip out of the country is pretty wild. So set the bar pretty high.
I do have a bunch of pictures like that as well. But yeah. If you could picture me, similar type of clothing, but with a big afro.
There you go. Yeah, the hairstyles back in that, I think I pretty much had a mullet, so big glasses, like it was not a good time.
Oh no. Okay, so we're gonna play a quick game before I get into your story.
Okay.
It's called 3 Stories, 2 Truths, and 1 Lie.
Ooh.
I'm sure you've played it all before. So you're gonna give me 3 stories. 2 of them are the truth and 1 is a lie. And then I'm gonna guess which one is a lie.
Oh, okay. So I'll do just kind of 3 random things about myself.
Okay.
So I am from New Jersey, and one summer I ended up as an extra in an episode of The Jersey Shore. That is story one. Story two is I was a ballerina when I was little. And even though I'm 5'10 and very tall and lanky, I went pretty far as a ballet dancer. And three would be I worked as a personal trainer for a part of my days when I was living in Washington, D.C. So those are three little known facts about me. Two facts, one lie.
Oh, man. Those are all, I think they're very plausible. Okay, I'm going to go with Jersey Shore.
Yes. That's Yeah. I just said, I told that story for a work event once, and everybody thought that that was the truth. I don't know if you've seen the Jersey Shore, but it's not like a flattering depiction of people. So I was kind of like, what do you think of me if you thought that was true?
That's hilarious.
It's not, yeah, I know. It was not a compliment enough.
But I read on your blog that you're actually from Boston.
I live in Boston now. Yeah, I've lived in Boston a long time, but I grew up in New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so my parents live there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So the Jersey part is true.
The Jersey part is true, yeah. So I know people are always surprised by that because a lot of people have Jersey accents that are pretty strong, things like that. But mine, mine's kind of gone away over the years.
Huh, that's actually very true. I didn't notice. Yeah, that's true.
And you don't have a Boston
either. Yeah, I was just going to say.
Yeah,
you don't have a Boston one
accent.
Either.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't have that either. I always confuse people. Yeah, the Boston accent is also a pretty identifiable one, but I don't have that either.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I've only lived here as an adult.
Yeah. None. No accents from either place.
Not really. No, I've tried to kind of keep it pretty neutral. So there might be some weird words here and there, but yeah. So
awesome.
Do you do the Canadian A?
Oh,
I don't hear much. I don't hear it.
I actively try not to do that.
Yeah.
And we're really not polite as people think. I think that it just comes across that way, but I think that we're actually two-faced more. So I think that whereas in America, people just tell you to your face that they don't like you. Here they'll smile at you and be polite, and as soon as you leave, they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that idiot.
I think
that's how
Southern,
I think we are.
Oh, that's funny. The Southern U.S. has that reputation of, you know, they say like the Southern insult is bless your heart, you know, and then, which is what you say to someone's face. And that really means like, go take a hike, you know.
What would you do if after a year of back-to-back trips, you become ill with a stomach virus that just doesn't seem to want to go away? Viruses sounds familiar. Nothing seems to work. Acupuncture, expensive meds, and even clinical trials at local hospitals. So that's exactly what happened to Bree. And hell, man, that is definitely one of the reasons why people are scared to travel. Jeez, Bree.
Yeah.
What happened to you?
Yeah, so it's been, I didn't realize it's been 5 years already, which it just seems, or like going on 5 years. So this basically all kind of went down at the end of 2015 into 2016. So kind of actually exactly at this time, 4 years ago. But the year 2015 was like a super crazy, intense year for me for travel. And it was a great year. It was kind of the beginning of my digital nomad kind of life.
Ah.
And I started off that year by spending a couple months in India.
Uh-huh. Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. So I was working for an adventure travel company there. So I was there probably about 2 months or so. And so that started out, you know, the year 2015. And then throughout the year, I was kind of all over the place. I went to Colombia that summer. I spent the fall in Peru and did lots of other trips in between. So I was always kind of running around. And then that Christmas, so Christmas of 2015, my mom and I both came down with a stomach bug, a virus. And She so this bounced is when back
you
right
got
away.
Back home, right?
Got back, okay. Yeah. So it was kind of after bouncing around the world for a year.
Okay.
I was kind of back home with mom and dad for Christmas, spend some quality time together. And it was one of those things where it was like, I don't feel so good. It was like, I don't feel so good either, you know?
was this like immediately, like right after you got back, or was it like sometime
after? It was
after?
Probably like 2 weeks, you know, okay. 2-3 weeks. Yeah, so I came back at like the beginning of December, and this was more like closer to Christmas, yeah. So it was a couple of weeks after I got back. And so, you know, there was all the running around with the holidays and things like that. And so, so I traveled to my parents' house. And my mom and I are like, ooh, we don't feel so good. And so my mom's a retired nurse, and she's pretty tough. So she bounced back in like 48 hours. And I always say, she was like back on her feet, like, all right, ready to go. And I always say, like, I got sick. And then I never got better. And so that kind of, that literally, and it's, you know, it was not really an exaggeration for that point in my life. It was, so it was basically like I had like a permanent stomach virus for like 18 months. And it was rough.
I can relate to your mom because I actually work with children with special needs. So because I work with children, my immune system is also very strong.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You got all the little germies
exactly.
all day long. So yeah. So that's how my dad's a retired teacher. So both of them have like stomachs of steel. Like they've that's been around it all. and yeah, so I have not been so fortunate, but, yeah. So it's, that's kind of how it started. And so, I came, got myself back to Boston, and then I was like, this is weird, you know? So it was after.
So wait, what were the symptoms? Like, what were you like? It was just like.
Yeah. So it's basically, I guess this was TMI. I guess it's a horror story podcast, so it's okay to say, but it was diarrhea kind of like all day long.
Right.
And yeah. And so it was like, like they say, the deli belly or whatever, so
kind of like you don't know whether or not to kneel or sit.
Yeah. So it was pretty rough. And so it was just kind of weird. I was like, this isn't normal, why is this happening? And, but also like I was really lethargic. I had lots of like stomach pain, like, and it didn't seem to matter like what I ate or anything. Like I couldn't like get myself like any relief. So I started by going to my primary care, which is kind of that's a U.S. thing. So that's like our main, doctor that we, general practitioner that we see.
Like the doctor that you go for regular checkups to and
exactly,
things like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. So, that's kind of where you have to start.
Right.
So I started there, and she was like, oh, that's weird. And, she's like, did you take Imodium? And I'm like, yeah, but that's like kind of a lot of Imodium. It's like, you can only take so much Imodium. So I did that. And, so then she referred me to, in the same practice, since I go to a community health center, she referred me to like a local gastroenterologist. So I saw him, and, I did an endoscopy and colonoscopy. So I had a few appointments with him, and he kind of said the same thing, like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like,
really?
Okay, and it's like, this isn't normal, and he's like, oh, just take Imodium. And I'm like, I can't, like, I literally can't,
I love the solutions here.
Yeah, right. And so, I was lucky in that I had, and as my career, as opposed to your career or my parents' careers, like, I have the ability to work from home. I do, contract marketing work mostly for nonprofits. And so at the time I was at an education nonprofit, and they were really nice where, if I was having kind of a bad day, I could work from home, but obviously a lot of people can't do that. But the flip side is that I didn't have any sick days. So it was kind of like, I only got paid when I worked. So, so that was kind of rough. And my health insurance was self-funded. So that was rough. And so it was kind of, so through that winter, it was just kind of like, I could barely leave the house. Like it was really nasty.
Are you serious?
So it like grounded my traveling. Like I really couldn't do anything. I couldn't, I didn't have any energy, obviously. And so, it was pretty rough. And then I ended up going, obviously in Boston, I'm lucky that I have access to, we have, some of the best hospitals in the world here. Some of the best doctors. So That's awesome. And so I started to, so I went to a different hospital, a bigger hospital, and saw some of the specialists there in gastroenterology. And that was kind of, I did see, so that was kind of like they put the, you know, that was kind of like they started to kind of zero in on like, okay, there's, you know, this is probably like irritable bowel syndrome. And right. It was triggered by like an overgrowth of bacteria in your intestine. And that was a result of all of the travel upon travel upon travel. Like I basically would just kind of shocked my body from all of the, you know, I just let myself get super run down and I was running all over the world and I was just picking up, you know, all sorts of little bugs all over the world.
So what countries were you in? Yeah. Sorry, just curious. Cause you said
that
India,
year,
you said South America.
Yeah, that year was definitely India and Peru and Colombia.
So do you think that you could connect it to those countries? And don't get me, I mean,
not explicitly.
Show, we're not trying to diss any countries. So just be clear.
No. Yeah. It, you know, obviously India has that reputation of, you know, being a place where, you know, you have to be really careful. You know, a lot of places do. There's just different, you know, water and, you know,
right.
treatment. It's, you know, there's just, you know, things are just different.
Right.
And that's so, right. Yeah. So it was basically, you know, looking back though, it was one of those like things though, like I always had kind of the quote unquote, like weak stomach, you know?
Okay.
And so, yeah. So it was kind of like, even when I was in India, I was like, I had a few instances. I was in Southeast Asia that fall before. I spent, also about 2 months in Southeast Asia before India. And had a few instances of these symptoms on kind of a smaller scale. Uh-huh. So I think it wasn't like one country or one place. I think it was just a cumulative effect of a lot of travel and not really taking care of myself.
Interesting.
You know, kind of letting myself. Yeah. And so I think that's one of those things, right? That, you know, long-term travel is obviously, it sounds, you know, exotic and glamorous and all those things. But like, you know, at the end of the day, you need to make sure that you're rested, that you're taking care of yourself, that you're, you know, you need to stay hydrated and eat well and all those things.
So yeah, we'll get into that in a second. But so what did you try?
The doctor.
Yeah.
So I saw the gastroenterologist at Beth Israel, and they have a really, you know, highly regarded department there. And she put me on a series of two medications, kind of like really, really potent antibiotics.
Right.
And each round of these meds were $400.
Whoa.
So again, that's outside of the US. I don't think people really, you know what that's like, but, or at least in some places. But yeah, so it was like, and again, I was a freelancer. So like $800 for medication was like a heck of a lot of money
those
tests. Yeah. So that was like, you know, I was just so desperate. I was kind of like, I'll do anything. So I did two rounds, and then after that didn't work, she was kind of like, I don't know, you know, basically I don't know what else to tell you. And so, so that's when I started to do more of a, holistic kind of approach. And, I tried acupuncture. And I think I do think the acupuncture helped a lot. I did acupuncture really consistently that summer.
And why do you think that the acupuncture? Because I hear a lot of things about that.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think it was another, like, it was somebody who was kind of looking holistically at my health.
Right. Okay.
You know, it was kind of like, how are you sleeping? How are you eating? You know, we talked a lot about diet and
gotcha.
And I felt like, so it was probably an effect of a few different things. Like I started, you know, I tried to go back to like yoga a little bit, the weather was nicer. I was able to go be outside a little bit more. So I think it was probably a combination of factors.
Okay.
I do credit it with, you know, whether it's a placebo effect or whether it actually, I don't know, you know, I mean, I think, you know, I know a lot of people that swear by acupuncture for all sorts of things.
Right.
And so for me, I felt like I do credit it for kind of, you know, starting to get me on the right path and make it a pain. You know, everything was like a little bit more manageable after that.
Right.
And so that helped a lot. You know, I saw a nutritionist. There's a diet that's called the FODMAP diet, FODMAP, and it's a low, it's like a low inflammatory diet.
Okay.
And so it takes out foods that cause inflammation. Uh-huh. And so obviously it's all the good stuff, right? Well, yeah, it's also stuff. It's also stuff you don't think about. It's like, you know, like nightshades, for example, which are like tomatoes and eggplants. Yeah. So it's like things that you don't think of that can cause inflammation.
So you had to eat cardboard pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's it was pretty much a really and I still, to be honest, to this day, I kind of follow that. I still kind of loosely follow that. Like I kind of use kind of, I don't strictly do it, but, I kind of use like the basic principles of it, just to keep myself in line. It's very strict on no onions, no garlic.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a pretty strict diet, but so I think it was, so the nutrition helped, the, acupuncture helped. And, so I started to kind of slowly kind of get, you know, kind of get back to some sort of, to things being a little bit more manageable for me.
So how long would you say it took from the time that you started the whole process of visiting, your first doctor, like your home doctor, to you actually feeling manageable, like it's better?
Yeah. Well, so it was probably like a year and a half, because then in spring, it was spring 2017, when I went on something called the Nomad Cruise.
Right.
Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Yeah. So it's really like digital nomads. Yeah. It's awesome. Definitely something to keep in mind in the future. So it was this, digital nomad cruise, and it's kind of a retreat for digital nomads. And so I was kind of considering, again, I was freelancing. So I was kind of considering like, should I stay in Boston? Should I try and be more location independent? And I went on this cruise, and it was kind of fortuitous because there was a woman named Judy Seeger, and she's an osteopathic doctor from Florida. And so Whoa. She was on the cruise.
Cool.
Yeah. And so I kind of like, she did a really awesome talk on basically, you know, health and travel and all sorts of, you know, what she uses in terms of supplements and things like that. And she did a really great talk. So I kind of approached her and, you know, was like, hey, can we, you know, and I told her what was going on with me, and that things were kind of manageable, but not great. And I never kind of really got fully better, fully healed. So I started working with her. I hired her as kind of a, you know, to put together a health program for me. And that's really what did it. So by that point, it was like the summer of 2017. So by that point, it was, you know, going on a year and a half to 2 years.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I'm
oh
not
my
feeling.
Gosh.
Normal, you know, and not having a normal life. My life was kind of consumed by it, because, you know, it was, you know, I couldn't, you know, some days I literally couldn't leave the house. You know, and so when you can't leave the house, you can't work, you can't travel. Like it just really affected everything in your, and it, I mean, for me, it was such an incredible lesson. Knock on wood, I've always been, I don't have any other kind of chronic issues or illnesses. And
right.
So, it gave me a lot of empathy for people that struggle or have struggled since birth or childhood, with situations, and just how your health just dominates everything, every aspect of your life.
Yeah,
and
no kidding.
Yeah. If you don't have your health, you have nothing.
You have
you
nothing.
Know?
Exactly. I was just going to say that. This segment is brought to you by GPS My City. Do you love exploring cities on foot at your own pace? Well, GPS My City's mobile apps, available on iOS and Android, feature self-guided city walks and GPS-powered travel articles written by travel bloggers and travel content creators for over 1,000 cities worldwide. Visit the link in the show notes to learn more. All right, let's break this down. Okay, let's take a look at some of the solutions. Like, what
yeah.
could you have done either A, to prevent it? What could you do while you're traveling, and what could you do after? And
yeah,
and yeah, like, let's talk about some of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's great. You know, in terms of prevention, I'm obviously now, you know, pretty much on the strict side in terms of health. Like, I don't take chances. I think, you know, especially with subsequent trips, I've learned this lesson as well. I think you really need to research where you're going from a health perspective.
Right.
You know, look at in the U.S., it's, you know, you can look at the Centers for Disease Control, the World Health Organization. You know, every country has, you know, government websites that have different, that have like, you know, the overview of the health situation there.
You know, I can tell you that I've never looked at stuff like that. Never.
Yeah. And I never did either. And I learned, you know, yeah, now I'm especially, you know, we had, like I said, we had a situation when I was in Malawi this fall where two women contracted an endemic disease that no one had ever heard of.
Oh my God.
And so now it's like, you know, you really need to do your research. If you're going to a place that is a little bit more off the beaten path, you know, you make sure you're up on your shots. And, you know, I'm sure you are too. I'm in all these Facebook traveler Facebook groups, and almost every day somebody said, oh, I'm going to this country and they say I need, you know, yellow fever and this shot and that shot, but I don't want to get any of the shots. Am I going to be okay? And I see those posts, you know, almost like once a week, yeah. Like, oh, do I really need, you know, a hepatitis shot, or do I really need this shot? And it's like, just get the shot.
Just get the damn shot.
Like, don't, yeah. And it's yeah. Like, don't mess around with that stuff. And, you know, it's not worth it. Like I said, you know, like some of these diseases are pretty serious, and you don't want to be away from home and
getting
take
sick.
Chances. So, I mean, you don't want to take chances at home either with your health, but you really don't want to take chances when you're overseas.
For sure. Exactly. Because at least when you're at home, you kind of know where you are and where
right,
you need
exactly.
to go.
Yeah.
I mean, now that I think about it, there was one other time where I got really sick, and that was in Casablanca. So, it was actually Cappadocia, sorry, not Morocco. It was Turkey.
Oh, okay. Turkey.
So it was Cappadocia. And I know, and I could trace exactly where it was because I ate the last little bit of the gyros. Like, do you know how they have the meat that's on the thing that spins around and then you're slicing it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there was, like, literally nothing left. And for some reason, I just took that last little bit. Like, I should have known better.
Like the scrap of meat.
Yeah, exactly. Like, out of
never
all things.
Never eat the last scrap
of chicken out of all things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, ever. Yeah.
So
as a general life rule.
Yeah, exactly. I literally got sick, like diarrhea, the whole nine the next day. And I had to travel out, and it's 45 minutes to get to the airport by car. And then I had to take planes. Like, I mean, I wrote a whole blog post on it. And actually, you can hear that story here on the podcast. It's episode 13. So go back a few episodes and you can hear that whole horror story. But what I wanted to try to say was, if you're going to a place like Europe, you tend to feel like, well, I'm going to Europe. You know, they're a quote unquote civilized country. Whereas if you're going to some place like, you know, Casablanca or Cappadocia or India, it's a quote unquote not kind of like to our North American level.
So you may not have access to
certain things.
You
know, like
you may not have access to a good health system. Yeah.
So, I mean, it would make sense for me, if you're going to be visiting places, then you should definitely check, you know, what it's like
Absolutely.
Where you're going.
Yeah.
And I think that's a perfect, perfect tip. What else do you suggest?
And just like you said, you know, don't eat the meat on a stick. Don't do what Chris does. So a lot of people are very strict about not eating street food. I am not as strict. My thing is, like, if it's fried, it's probably going to be okay. Like, if it's, you know, like the arepas in Colombia, or like, I don't know if that's a good rule or not, but I'm assuming if you're like dousing it in burning oil, that like,
it's going to kill whatever was there.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
So vitamins too.
I don't eat meat though. And you know, they also say about street food, you know, you obviously have to do your research. You know, when I was in Mexico City, even this summer, you know, I couldn't partake because they were very, all the tacos had lots of meat. And, but my friends did lots of research, and it was like, everybody goes to this place. And it was, you know, this stall that was like, you know, dishing out tacos left and right. So there was high turnover, big crowd outside. You know, I think you have to, you know, if you're going to do street food, you have to do your research. You have to go where you see a big crowd, where stuff isn't just sitting out, you know, where it's a high turnover.
Makes
place. I stay away from meat, but other people don't. But you just have to, like, make sure you're going to the right place, or have somebody put you in the right direction.
Yeah, no, it totally makes sense. And I love it that we just pretty much just outlined my mistake again, because nobody was in line at that place, and it was completely empty. And here I am, like, give me one. I'll take the last one.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'll take the last one. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you just have to be careful. But, you know, and then there's the, you know, fruits and vegetables. I think everyone knows that one. You know, if
right,
it doesn't have a bananas are typically okay, or an orange because they have peels, but anything
right.
like a, you know, a strawberry or something like that, even though it's, you know, if there's not a peel or a rind on it, you know, stay away.
That's a good
stay away
one.
From vegetables.
That's a good
cold
one.
Cold vegetables.
And you're talking about while you're there.
Right, exactly. Yes. Yeah. So fortunately I love salads, but you know, no cold vegetables unless you know, there will be, if you're at a higher end, you know, restaurant or hotel, some will have, you know, notes on the menu saying, you know, like, oh, our vegetables and fruits are okay. No ice, obviously. You have to be careful with ice, be careful brushing your teeth. You know, take a water bottle with a filter in it if you can, or, you know, my use gosh. Bottled water if you absolutely have to. Do you travel with a water bottle?
I do have a water bottle because I always drink a lot of water here. But I think I actually will bring a water bottle with me. Usually when I'm traveling, like, I'll get bottled water, like I'll buy yeah. bottled water, and then I'll just kind of bring that with me. But I really would fill up my water bottle when I'm around. I'd rather just keep buying a water bottle. I know it's not good for the environment.
Right, yeah.
But at least I know if it's a watered bottle.
It's safe, like yeah.
Yeah, so that's the only reason why I do that, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's some like Life Straw, Grail. Those are probably two of the biggest companies for filtered water bottles. So they have filtration systems in them.
In the actual water bottle?
In the actual bottle, yeah.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, so that's kind of nice. So they're a little more environmentally friendly.
You're going to have to give me a link to all these things.
Yeah, those are
in the show notes. Do you have, and if you have any affiliate links with all those companies, that's perfect. Just send me the link. I'll stick it in there. And what do you suggest? I'd be interested just quickly to hear, like, what were some of the suggestions that lady that you met on the cruise, like what were some of the things she suggested to help you get better?
Yeah. So she, you know, she put together a plan for me, that was really comprehensive. And again, it kind of took into account kind of your whole person versus, just the problem. And so I liked that approach, and it's how, you know, I think now in the new year, everybody is trying to kind of, you know, set resolutions and be your best self. And I think that's something that I'm trying to keep in mind too, where, you know, not just setting goals for my business or not just setting goals for health, but like you have to kind of, you know, take account of every aspect of your life, you know, how you're sleeping, how you're eating, how you're exercising, all those things.
So keep yourself healthy from the get-go. And so it really touched on everything.
Yeah, exactly. And so it touched on everything. It touched on, I mean, she literally had, you know, how much I needed to sleep, you know, my, like when I showered and like, you know, and this was really interesting.
Smokes. So, wow. Yeah.
So she talked about like, not like taking hot and cold showers, like, and so like alternating hot and that's, you know, obviously like, you know, in Scandinavian countries, they do that with like the saunas and then jumping in the cold snow and right. things. So there was like some aspect there. So it was a lot about circulation, getting massages, uh-huh. Doing a dry brushing technique, taking baths, taking like baths with Epsom salts and
right.
Baths that kind of draw out your impurities. Obviously drinking tons of water. That's obviously the best thing you can do. Cutting down on caffeine and alcohol, which is hard for all of us.
No kidding.
That's impossible. But, you know, like I'm all about balance. So I never right. kind of ever cut things out 100%, but you know, you got to make it worth it. You know, you not have, you know, your, 18 cups of coffee a day.
It was
all that. Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, and it had a lot of, you know, a lot of the anti-inflammatory eating. So just eating really, kind of, you know, simple foods that weren't too hard on my system.
Right.
And then she put together a really, you know, detailed plan for supplements. So I think, and that was really helpful. I feel like everybody should do that because like, I think a lot of people just pop a multivitamin. And they don't really know if it's working, you know? And she actually, you know, said like, you know, magnesium and vitamin D. And like she actually like laid out all the supplements that need to be taking. And she was like, you don't need a multivitamin. You need just these specific
ones. Yeah. Because
so that was really, really helpful.
Yeah. Cause the counter effect to that is that sometimes certain medications, specifically magnesium, could counter maybe certain other,
you're right. Yeah.
Medications
you're absolutely right.
that you're taking.
Yeah.
So you have to kind of, yeah, you're absolutely right. You should be taking.
You have to tell your doctor. Yeah.
What you're deficient in.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not just taking stuff that you don't need or it's too much of one thing. And the other thing too is probiotics. Yeah. No, that's super.
So like yogurt.
Yeah, probiotics, I think now, I think for every traveler, like if anyone's traveling at all ever, just get on a regimen of probiotics because, yogurt, there's lots of yogurts have probiotics. There's, I think, some like yogurt drinks and things like that that have probiotics in them. But just kind of keeping, you know, good bacteria in your body. So the good bacteria, you know, fights the bad bacteria. So just taking probiotics pretty much all the time, you know, especially if you're going to be traveling to places that might, you know, be a little harder on the system,
right?
To make sure you have that good bacteria going for you. Cause I think that's what happened to me. It was just so many years of, just getting, you know, just running all over the place and like not taking care of myself. I think that, you know, I think it all kind of built, I didn't have any kind of good bacteria left, you know? So I think I was never able to fight off that virus, but I think, you know, but yeah, probiotics are really the way to go. And the other thing too, is that like, I think I've always been very impatient, I guess. So like people were like, oh, take probiotics. And like, I would take them for like 3 days. I was like, probiotics don't work. And then I like, and she was like, yeah, you guys take it for like months, you know? And I'm like, you know, like I would take probiotics like the day before leaving for a trip.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, probiotics don't work. And it's like, well, yeah, because you didn't really use them the right way. So,
it's pretty much about getting it in your system. And then it's like literally there.
Yeah, it's kind of, it has to like build up. Yeah, right. For sure. Okay. So if you're prone to, you know, GI issues, it's probiotics are a good thing to get started on.
Interesting. And is there anything that you do differently when you return from a trip? Like, is there anything that you like, do you know what I mean? Like, is there some sort of extraction? Do you go in some kind of room and get sprayed down with like big hoses?
Disinfect myself. Yeah. I haven't. No, there are people, a few people have told me this to do like a, apparently you can buy like these anti-parasite or like, you know, some sort of anti-parasite meds, online. And some folks, I know quite a few travelers who have done that. I personally haven't done that. I did after my trip to Malawi when things got a little dicey, I did actually go back to my primary care and got some blood work. Just because I hadn't had it. I couldn't even remember last time I had blood work. And I was kind of like, you know what? It's good to kind of have a baseline of, you know, your health. And
yeah, exactly.
I'm just trying to be more, like I said, just trying to be like more mindful of my health in general and not just letting myself, you know, get so run down and, you know, trying to have a better balance about everything. You know, obviously sleep is, you know, key to everything as well. You know, sleep, water, all that good stuff. And kind of just kind of keeping on a good schedule.
Awesome. Those are some amazing takeaways there. That is, I mean, you gave me some things to definitely think about.
Yeah. Hopefully you'll stop at the street meet.
Yeah, absolutely. Or I'll look for, you know, the one that has the longest line versus the one that has
look
no
for the
line.
Yeah, exactly. But also, too, like, I always ask, like, you know, always ask people where they go, you know, and people at your hostel or people at your hotel.
Right.
Or fellow travel bloggers. Fellow travelers, too. Like, ask for recommendations for sure. As much as it's tempting to kind of set out on your own and wing it, when it comes to your health, you want to be a little more careful.
For travel bloggers and travel content creators, you know, they tend to be a little bit tougher because they're quick to just jump on a plane and go wherever.
Yeah.
But the average traveler, I mean, it's just something like that will kind of put them off from ever really traveling again. If they get sick once, then they're going to always say it's because of traveling.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, and you opened it up to like, you need to go a little bit deeper because when you really think about it, yeah, you were traveling, but there was a bigger picture to the whole thing. And it wasn't just the traveling. There's a whole thing you could have done prior to your traveling to prepare yourself and things that you could have done during your traveling. Like there's a whole slew of things that, you know, so you can't just blame the traveling or the destination for your illness.
Absolutely.
So I think it's very like there's a lot of good takeaways here from that. Thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people find you?
atravelinglife.com. And I'm also on Facebook as A Traveling Life. And everywhere else, I am Bri Myers, which is Brimiers on Instagram and Twitter.
Awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Bree.
All right. Case closed. That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget that you can listen to this show over at www.travelhorrorstoriespodcast.com. And if you're listening on your mobile device, please take a second to give the episode a 5-star rating and leave a comment. It really helps the show and its episodes get discovered by more people. Plus, your feedback will help me tweak and change the show to make it the best show on the internet. Yes. Cheers.